Greetings and welcome to I Do the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show with us today Cecil Phillips, who is a semi-retired engineer who also worked for the Development Foundations at Georgia Tech and Louisiana State University. And I've known Cecil now for maybe about half a year, and I know from some personal conversations I've had with Cecil that based upon his engineering background and his experience with computer programming, that he has read quite a bit of the scientific literature on the topic of biological origins, and he is scientifically skeptical of Darwinian evolution. So why are we having Cecil on the show today? Well, Cecil is a friend of Discovery Institute who lives in the Baton Rouge area of Louisiana, and he recently had an experience which I think very nicely illustrates how Darwin lobbyists will try to shut people down by equating dissent from Darwinism with creationism. So, Cecil, let me welcome you to ID the Future. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Sure, Casey. I'm enjoying the opportunity to talk with you.
Cecil, you're an interesting person because, of course, you have a science background. You approach this issue from a scientific perspective. And if you don't mind me saying this, I think you don't really consider yourself a particularly religious person. You are really just looking at this in terms of what does the science say and what is the best way to teach this issue in public schools. And I think that our listeners will be interested to hear your story, Cecil, because I think it will be very revealing to explain how the Darwin lobby operates and how they just have their fingers in their ears when it comes to the possibility, even the likelihood, that there is legitimate scientific evidence that could cause somebody to become skeptical of Darwinian evolution. So to give our listeners a little bit of background of what happened, and then I want to let you kind of tell the story, Cecil. Cecil had been, or at least he was, a member of an organization called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And he'd been a member of this organization for a number of years. And folks who are familiar with the debate over evolution instruction will quickly remember and recall that Americans United is not exactly what you would call friendly to academic freedom in public education when it comes to evolution. In fact, after I learned about this story from Cecil, I recalled a statement that was made by Barry Lynn, who's the executive director of Americans United, and he made a statement when Louisiana passed its academic freedom bill into law back in 2008. And here's what Barry Lynn said. He said, "It's time for Louisiana to step into the 21st century and stop trying to teach religion in public schools. Laws like this are an embarrassment." So this is the perspective of Americans United on evolution instruction in public schools. And Cecil, you were a member of their organization, and you recently got involved in a dialogue with folks at an Americans United planning meeting about how to deal with evolution instruction. And I'd like for you to maybe just tell your story to our listeners, because I think this will be interesting for people to hear as far as how these kinds of Darwin lobby groups operate.
Sure. First, let me say that when I became a member of Americans United, or AU as it's often called, I noticed in their literature that they made a mistake, I thought, in classifying all dissent from Darwin as a creationist viewpoint. And so I wrote a letter to the editor of their magazine and tried to clear that up, or at least I explained that I thought they were making a mistake on that. And never got much of an answer from them in writing. But then about a year later, I attended a local chapter meeting of AU, and I also explained to the members there about this particular aspect of AU's policies that I didn't agree with. I said I really support most of everything that AU stands for with regard to separation of church and state. I think that's a worthy cause. But I thought that they made a mistake in classifying all dissent from Darwin as a creationist cabal of some kind. And the members there at first didn't say much about that, but then at a later meeting, apparently that had been bothering somebody. And so at a later meeting, one of the members called me out on this again, and he said, "Tell me, Cecil, why do you believe in creationism?" And I said, "Well, I don't believe in creationism. That was my point. I said, I believe in the scientific study of evolution, and I'm interested only in the scientific aspects. And I find that from a scientific viewpoint, the Darwinian theory is inadequate to explain all the complexity of evolution and tried to explain that further, but this fellow and a couple of others in the local chapter meeting really got agitated about that and created kind of a big argument about it. And then finally the chairman, after about 10 minutes of some argument about evolution, chairman said, well, let's drop that and go on to other things. That was about 3 or 4 months ago, and it was in October of 2012. And so I didn't hear any more about it and didn't go to any more meetings. And suddenly, around just before Christmas, I received a letter from the National Office of Americans United saying that my membership in the organization was no longer desired, that I was counterproductive to their mission, and that my membership was forthwith rescinded. And they even sent back a refund of my membership dues for last year, sent me a check for a refund. And the letter was not signed by anyone. No name was given. It was just a letter on the letterhead of Americans United. And I found that really remarkable because no one at the national office had contacted me. No one had asked if this was an accurate characterization of my viewpoint. The letter accused me of promoting, quote, intelligent design creationism. That was the term that they used, which to me indicated that they didn't know the difference between intelligent design and creationism. And if they had called me or contacted me, I certainly would have explained that difference, because with regard to creationism per se, my position is the same as theirs. That is, they oppose the concept of creation. Well, I do too. I'm not interested in the religious aspects of the whole argument. And so I don't have anything to do with so-called creationist theories. But I am very interested in the scientific issues. And I would have explained that, and I would have explained that that, to me, is very much the same as what AU believes with regard to creationism. So the difference between them and me was on how you define creationism. And, of course, I define it differently than they do. They seem to sweep all dissent from Darwin and everything that is involved with intelligent design. They sweep that into a religious viewpoint. So that was the surprise I got from the organization.
You were excommunicated.
Yeah, excommunicated. That's right. I was excommunicated from the institution or whatever.
So I just want to make this really clear for our listeners. You were kicked out of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Cecil, because you were scientifically skeptical of Darwinism. I mean, that really is all it boils down to. And I'll just read for our listeners what the letter said, because you made a photocopy of the letter and popped it in the mail because you thought I would find it interesting. It says, after saying, "Dear Mr. Phillips," then it goes on to say, "Your promotion of intelligent design creationism in Louisiana is contrary to AU's mission. Since you have openly announced your involvement in such activity, your attendance at the chapter meetings is having a counterproductive effect on the group's ability to conduct business in an atmosphere of openness and comfort." So I guess they're not comfortable with somebody being there if they're skeptical of Darwinian evolution. They go on to close the letter saying, "Therefore, your presence is no longer welcome at the meetings, and your membership in our organization has been rescinded. AU is happy to enclose a refund of your membership fee." And as you said, it wasn't signed by any person. It just says, "Best wishes, National Field Department, on behalf of concerned chapter members." So I want to make this really clear for our listeners, Cecil. It's not like you were a plant of Discovery Institute. I don't think anybody at Discovery had any idea that you were a member of Americans United, nor did it really matter to us until after all this happened. And I think that you were a member of Americans United because you supported many things that they were doing. As you said, you agree with their policy that creationism should not be taught in public schools and so forth. It's just you have not sort of bought into this strategy or this tactic they use to relabel any dissent from Darwinism as creationism for the purpose of excluding it from public schools. Am I right, essentially, in what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's quite correct. And let me add that in a previous correspondence with the national office, I got a policy statement saying that Americans United is a civil liberties organization, not a scientific group. We address religious liberty concerns, not questions about science. Well, then why are we having this discussion? if they're not dealing with science, I brought up the subject on purely a scientific issue, and they introduced religion into it, not I. So it seems to me that they're confused about what is the difference between religion and science and who's taking what position on that subject.
Well, I would certainly agree with you. Obviously, the First Amendment is a good thing. It's meant to protect the government from establishing a religion, whether that's through any government policy, including what's taught in public schools. And that First Amendment, the separation of church and state, as it's often called, is meant to protect both government and religion. It's supposed to protect both from one another, and it's good for government, it's good for religion, it's good for a healthy society when you have those protections. What's not good, what's not healthy, is when people start to try to relabel certain non-religious things as religion for the purpose of censorship.
Right.
And I think that that is what is going on here with Americans United. Their real goal is to censor criticism of Darwin, and they find a convenient way to do that is to relabel it as religion. And this is actually working against the principles of the First Amendment, which also stand for free speech, freedom of inquiry, freedom to ask hard questions. And unfortunately, those principles are sort of getting swept aside, I think, through this tactic. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, I have said the same thing when I replied to AU. I wrote them a letter about all this, and I said almost exactly the same thing, that they are, as an organization that should be supporting religious freedom and freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and citizens' involvement in civic issues, if they're purporting to promote those principles, which I agree with, it seems counterproductive to me for them to try to shut out any scientific discussion of Darwinian theory. That's what they seem to be doing.
Cecil, we're running out of time for this podcast, but before we finish, maybe very quickly, could you give me an example of what, in your opinion, is one compelling scientific argument that has nothing to do with religion that poses a challenge to Darwinian evolution? I would just like to hear it from your perspective. Let me say, what is one of your favorite non-religious scientific arguments that challenges Darwinism?
The best one for me is Michael Behe's category of irreducible complexity, where you have changes in an organism that developed in interdependent ways. That is, the organism has a system that has multiple interdependent parts which could not have been developed independently through random mutation and natural selection, which would be required by Darwinian theory. And that principle by itself has never been answered by the pro-Darwin school of thought at all. As far as I'm concerned, they've never been able to explain how irreducibly complex organisms could evolve. No mechanism whatsoever for explaining that.
Maybe you did raise this at the AU planning meetings that you attended, and I can imagine that the people in the room, they must have just had cognitive dissonance. Their heads were exploding because things like this are not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have, say, a person who's a supporter of separation of church and state, a member of AU, who's an intelligent, bright, thoughtful person, who actually sees that there are clearly strictly scientific problems with Darwinian evolution. In their universe, people like you are not supposed to exist, Cecil. So I guess it's easier for them to just get rid of you, get you out of the organization. Then you don't have to bother them anymore with your existence. And how do they put it? You're not creating an atmosphere of openness and comfort. So it's a lot easier for you to just not be there.
Right. They were certainly uncomfortable with my position. That's right.
Well, way to go, Cecil, for asking hard questions and making some folks who maybe are not so tolerant on certain issues feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's probably good for that to happen. Cecil, thank you so much for coming on ID the Future and telling us your story today.
Sure. Glad to talk with you.
Well, I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.